The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We're back for hour two at 10:03. It's actually hour two and a half since I did that extra half hour of George's show. He had to get out of here early. If you missed it, podcasts, I'm sure, will be up very, very soon. But it's awfully good to have you here. Our phone number, 303-696-1971. Everybody on the phone, sit tight. We're going to talk to a great guest and a good friend. I want to do that first before we pull up Professor John Eastman, getting text messages from folks who heard about Steve Reams, the fundraiser for Steve Reams at historic Fort Lupton. It's a car show from 11 to 4. And I'm getting texts now from folks who came to my Shenango, my neighborhood car show. We had over 200 cars there, and just remarkable. But folks who heard about it this morning on the show are heading up there. So anybody who's listening that's going to head up to the car show, please send me a text when you get there, or find Steve or somebody who knows me so you can let me know, because I would love to meet up with you guys. I should be there by, I don't know, probably 1 o'clock or a little after. I was able to rearrange my afternoon. The weather is so nice outside. 61 already in Aurora, 63 over there in Hell, also known as Denver, Colorado. But we're headed into the 70s with a whole lot of sun. And but now, without any further ado, last Sunday, let's take a look at the date. I pulled it up here a little. Yep, October 5th, Terrence Carroll, former Colorado State legislator, wrote a piece. And, of course, you don't title your own editorials. I've had several printed in the Denver Post. But the title that that Megan gave to this one was Terrence Carroll. John Eastman's coup memo was about more than keeping Trump in office. And Professor John Eastman's been getting pounded on the radio, on TV, in print long enough. So I thought we'd bring him on and see if he's capable of defending himself. Professor, good morning. Welcome back to Denver.
Hey, thanks, Randy. Glad to be back on your program.
It's always good to talk to you. Give folks a quick, brief background. I always love to talk about your work with Justice Antonin Scalia. I know you guys had a reunion class. Give us a little of your background and tell us just for a minute about what it was like to get together with the old crew and his wife.
Well, I was friends with Justice Scalia, but the reunion was the justice I clerked for, Clarence Thomas. You know, it's always great fun to connect with folks. But look, what's going on with this memo? I was asked to write a memo about all of the scenarios that had been floated in the press, in legal scholarship, grounded in constitutional text or in precedent. And then we would discuss those scenarios and make a recommendation. One of the scenarios was one that had been put forward by some legal scholars after the 2000 election that claimed that the Vice President of the United States had the sole authority to determine the validity of electors. Now, that's one of the scenarios I discussed there, but the actual advice I gave was to say, I don't think that's a valid argument, or I think it's the weaker of the argument, to use the phrase I actually used. But even if you had such authority, I directly told the Vice President it would be foolish to exercise it absent alternative certification of slates of electors from the state legislatures. So the advice I actually gave, and it's been completely distorted in the press, is that the Vice President merely delay, or rather more precisely, to accede to requests from state legislators to delay the proceedings by a week or so that if they were coming back into formal session, they could assess the impact of acknowledged illegality in the conduct of their elections. Hardly the coup. And as I published a piece recently, trying to make sure that an illegal election doesn't alter the results of the results is not a coup. It's actually defending democracy.
Well, and something that, you know, Democrats cry foul every time they lose an election. And in fact, even after the 2020 results were formalized, the head lawyer for Hillary Clinton, Mark Elias, brought a lawsuit in New York for a Democrat legislature and claimed that the Dominion voting machines were flipping the votes. I mean, they will use whatever argument is appropriate for them at the time. But if Republicans want to do an actual forensic audit or go back and look at actual records, no, you're trying to, you'll bespoil democracy as we know it.
One of my most scurrilous detractors, a longtime debater opponent of mine, Erwin Chemerinsky, says I shouldn't even be allowed into polite company. He's actually the one that argued that the Electoral College should be by a federal judge declared unconstitutional in 2016 so that Hillary would be installed as president. And one of the other detractors of mine was a professor at Harvard who actually ran for president in 2016. And after the results of the November election in 2016, this guy, Lawrence Lessig, actually set up a foundation to try and convince Trump electors not to vote for Trump. In other words, to really steal the election. I mean, so I think there's an old psychological theory behind it called projection that we're seeing play out here. But no, my insistence has always been that the actual results of the election should determine the election. The problem is, how do you get to the actual results when the courts are not taking up the cases?
Yeah, and the Democrats, you know, if Joe Biden actually won 80 plus million votes, number one, it would be virtually impossible for his popularity to be so in the tank, including among independents, unaffiliated.
Wait a minute. I thought at all these football games they were saying, let's go, Brandon. Are you suggesting they're saying something else?
Well, I understand that Barack Obama had to explain to Joe Biden that chant, which rhymes with truck Joe Biden, were not all those people wanting to actually get close with Joe. That had to be explained to Joe. Here's what bothers me. You know, I'm in the middle of one of these defamation cases that Eric Coomer, the national security Antifa supporter, Trump hater, brought against President Trump, Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell, a whole host of others. And the way Terrence Carroll, I think, avoids any risk of, for instance, a defamation claim with you is he cites to his source. And his source is Peril, the book written by Bob Woodward, another one of these soap opera fast sellers that rely on, you know, hundreds of anonymous sources. And then they quote statements out of this memo, or perhaps it was even an early draft of the memo, and attribute them to you as though those were your conclusions or your recommendations. The devil is always in the details, John.
Well, that's right. And Costa and Woodward interviewed me. They had the full memo, and they actually knew that it was a scenarios memo, not a recommendation memo. And that's rather critical, but they ignored that. The Washington Post reporter who did the feature story on their forthcoming book to get a PR also had the full memo and the actual story, and they ignored it. Their competitor at the New York Times kind of accidentally got the story right in their lead story, front page story about me last Sunday.
I'm sorry. I'm sure you got the name of that publication wrong. Who was it again?
Yeah, New York Times. I mean, you know, you read the whole story. It has a typical New York Times slant on things. But at the end of the story, they actually describe the conversation in the Oval Office accurately. They describe accurately, quoting me, that when the vice president turned to me and point blank asked, "Do you think I have the authority that had been suggested by some others that I can just simply decide which electoral votes to count and declare Trump president?" I said, that's an open question, your authority, but I think it's the weaker argument. But even if you had such authority, it would be foolish to exercise it absent the legislatures of the state having actually certified the Trump alternate slate of electors. And then significantly, the New York Times confirms my version of what was said by one of the other guys in the room, which, you know, there were only five people in the room. It was the president, the vice president, me, and then two of the vice president's staff, his general counsel, a guy named Mark Short. I mean, sorry, his chief of staff, a guy named Mark Short, and his general counsel, a guy named Greg Jacob. And one of them confirmed that Eastman actually said that that Vice President Pence didn't have this authority. Well, that just proves that all of these stories over the last 2 weeks, led by the false characterization of it in the Woodward and Costa book, are just blatantly false. I'm taken to calling it the distort, disseminate, and demonize or destroy strategy of the media for any political story or political opponent they want to take out. Or you can, they did this for 4 years with President Trump. I call it the Charlottesville shuffle because of the distortion about what Trump said about Charlottesville. Or the Georgia jiu-jitsu, the distortion now proved of what Trump said on that so-called infamous Georgia phone call. And then they create the distortion and then they repeat it ad nauseum to make it out there so that everybody starts to think it's true. And, if you stand up and actually say the truth about this, I think George Orwell had a line about it. In an era of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And unfortunately, that's where our politics and our media have gotten to at this point.
Talking with Professor John Eastman, the former visiting scholar of conservative thought and policy up there at the Benson Center at CU. That lawsuit is still percolating. We've all had our hands a little bit full, but no, CU, we're not going away. But, John, your predecessor up there, Stephen Hayward, who is also extremely controversial because he's a conservative, you know, he wrote an excellent piece where people, if they want to go read it, can actually read the full memo that was written and see how out of context it was taken. It's available for folks at Powerline, and it's called The Terrors of Justice, In Re, John Eastman. Have you spent any time looking that over?
Oh, I think it's a terrific article that my old graduate school classmate wrote, Steve Hayward, lays out the case well. There's another one that's up PJ Media by J. Christian Adams, who used to work in the Department of Justice. Equally saying this is dangerous for going after people for saying true things about a representation of a client. Of course, I have published a couple of pieces on my own on this. One of them was way back in January at American Mind called Setting the Record Straight on the POTUS Ask. And then one just recently from the renewed controversy that was published at American Greatness detailing exactly what was done as well. So I think eventually the record gets out. It's interesting. One has to ask, this is now 8 months, 9 months, 10 months after all the activity from last January. Why is it coming back out and again now? And one, a couple of theories on that. One, audits are starting to, give real proof of the illegalities and fraud that occurred in the election. But two, the Durham investigation is now handing down indictments, issuing new subpoenas, bringing people under fire for the illegal conduct that occurred in 2016 in what is the greatest political scandal in American history, which is the outgoing administration using the FBI and the CIA and other organizations of government to spy on the opposing political campaign. I think trying to keep that stuff off of front page news by making these other phony stories is, I think, part of a deliberate tactic.
No question about it. We've been seeing it for a long, long time. And the I forget what Nancy Pelosi calls it, the whip shot smear or something like that. You get somebody to report on a story, it's a speculative story, but then people pick it up and said, as CNN reported this, that, and the other thing. And then before you know it, you've got Denver Post editorials, and at least the New York Times occasionally gets it right. And it's kind of fun when you can refer back to an article from them to vindicate. And just before we move on from this topic, one last time, the recommendation, as I understand it, to Mike Pence was, Mike, you've got the authority to postpone this electoral count. Some of these states are asking for 7 or 10 days to look into their own elections because they're concerned that they were prematurely certified. And that is something that you could and did you say should do?
Yeah, I said you should. You've got still pending litigation in several of these cases, other challenges, acknowledged illegality in the conduct of the elections. And the question is not whether those things occurred, but whether they occurred in sufficient scale to have affected the results of the election. And that's what the legislators had asked him to give them a little bit of extra time to look at. And if people look at my full scenarios memo, they'll see one of the scenarios is give them that time, and if in fact they reconfirm that the Biden electors are properly certified, they will let you know that, and then Biden gets reelected. But people have ignored that. That's also one of the scenarios I discussed in the memo.
Your name has come up a bunch this week on our morning show, Peter Boyles, and he talks about when you hung up on him, and so I want to recreate that scenario. And the reason I bring it up, and I hate to, but it's when I hear misrepresentations about what's so, or conclusory statements that if you actually understand the details or share the details, you know, an average normal person isn't going to arrive at the same conclusion. And it involves my friend and my client. I think it needs to be addressed. So for people who don't know the story, you got you on with Peter, and you guys were talking about election stuff. And you mentioned the hundreds of affidavits that were dropped in those very rushed, fast-moving election lawsuits early on after the election. And and he made a comment. You mentioned the affidavits, and he said, well, I could file an affidavit that says I saw Bigfoot, you know, so what? And you hung up on him. Talk to me about that. Why did you do it? Do you regret it?
Well, no, I don't regret it. Look, I think the evidence of election fraud and illegality is so serious for the ongoing faith in our elections, but also the ability of the American people to have confidence that they are the ultimate sovereign that control the direction of the government. These are very serious matters, and I thought we were having a serious conversation. And he said, there's absolutely no evidence that anything went wrong. And I said, there are thousands of affidavits. That's sworn evidence under penalty of perjury. It's easily considered evidence in courts of law. And he said, well, I could do an affidavit that I saw Bigfoot, too. And it demonstrated to me he was not willing to actually engage in a serious conversation by belittling the significant amount of evidence that, in fact, had been brought forward. And so I saw no further point in talking to him. After the fact, you know, he was kind of taken aback by that. But I don't, you know, this is too serious to be playing little gotcha games like that. And if he wants to engage in a serious conversation, I said it at the time, you know, shortly after that on your show, I'd be happy to engage in a serious conversation, but I'm not going to play little cheap games about something quite so serious.
Well, and that's the reason I brought it back, because I heard several times that I was told that he said that you wouldn't come on his show now. And that's just flat untrue. I've sent it to him in writing. I offered you up, you know, the next time I saw him, we had a meal together, said, no, he'd come back, you know, and you got to have a serious conversation. So just to put it out there, if Peter Boyles wants to have you on his show, are you willing to go?
Oh, yeah. But you know, for him to say that I've refused to come back on a show suggests that, in fact, they've invited me back on the show, which has never happened. So this is a false statement he's making in order to undermine my reputation as being unwilling to talk about things that I have demonstrably shown that I'm more than willing to talk about. So, you know, that lie itself, you know, starts crossing the line into defamation, and he ought to be careful about it.
Well, I'll tell you, defamation suits fly around like crazy. We actually have our anti-SLAPP two-day hearings in our Eric Coomer versus the World defamation case coming up next week, which, contrary to what some people say, I'm really looking forward to. It's very important when defendants get a chance to have their day in court.
Well, that's right. And the standard for defamation, even the high threshold that the Supreme Court, I think, is erroneously set in an old case called New York Times versus Sullivan for public figures that have to show malice. But even with the malice high standard, knowingly say something that is false. And if he's claiming that I am refusing to come back on his show after invitation, that's knowingly false. That meets the malice standard. Or reckless disregard for the truth. Repeating something without bothering to verify it is reckless disregard for the truth. Those things actually meet the defamation standard. And at some point, people need to be held accountable for the false and scurrilous things they're saying about other political actors in this rather intensely hyperpartisan era in which we live.
Well, yeah, the Democrats have been mobilizing the tools of lawfare for years and years and years. And typically, Republicans, conservatives, they defend themselves. They typically win. But we don't use it as an aggressive tool because we think it's wrong. But I think those days have to be over. We Republicans and people who want to elect Republicans have to start using the political tools that are available and have proven essential in 21st century politics. And that includes fighting back with every legal tool that we have.
Indeed. Indeed. And I know your firm and, of course, my involvement in several of the matters up in Colorado at the moment to try and ensure that we have fair elections, that political associations can choose their own nominees without being raided by other members of other political associations. These are the kind of things that matter for the long-term viability of our Republican institutions and ultimately the sovereignty of we the people, to use the famous first three words of the Constitution.
Yeah, I don't want to use the last couple minutes I've got with you on that particular topic, but the word has gone out that as soon as the Republicans chose not to opt out of the primary, the first thing we did was sue ourselves. And nothing could be further from the truth. We're hopeful to put together the resources to overturn an unconstitutional law and allow Republicans to choose how they conduct their own primaries, as it should be in Colorado and every other state in the union. But the thing I want to get from you, just looking ahead, Joe Biden, it seems to me, is walking up against a very dangerous precipice with looking to turn over White House documents from a prior presidential administration. Why is that dangerous to our future?
Well, look, the doctrine is called executive privilege. It's designed to protect separation of powers and to not make the president and the executive branch subservient to the legislature. And so that the advice the president seeks and gets from his top advisors is confidential, just like the advice that Nancy Pelosi gets from her top staff is confidential. And what happened here over the last month is that the Biden Justice Department said, well, we're waiving all of the executive privilege claims by the former president to disclose all of those communications, those confidential communications. And I think the Biden White House counsel recognizes the danger, because they're not going to be in office forever. And the day they leave office, and if somebody from another party or even another faction of their own party is the successor, then they lose their executive privilege. Can you imagine if Trump on day one of his presidential term had waived executive privilege of claims from Biden over the Benghazi scandal or the Fast and Furious or all of the other controversial actions that have been taken? I mean, there would be a huge hue and cry against, you know, Trump improperly waiving executive privilege. And yet, because it's going after Trump, everybody seems to be quiet about it. This is huge. And if we lose this fight over protection of executive privilege, we really have made we have kneecapped the ability of the presidency, the executive, to serve as a check and balance on Congress.
Without a doubt. John, we are at the end of the segment. Appreciate the extension of time with you. Really looking forward to seeing you in 2 weeks in Huntington Beach, California. I love that the Claremont Institute is inviting out and honoring Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. That's going to be just a wonderful weekend. I will see you there. And God bless you, sir. I know we'll be talking soon.
All right. Thank you very much, Randy.
John, Alexa just texted into the studio. That thing I was talking about, just take 30 seconds and Google wrap-up smear Pelosi and listen to Nancy Pelosi describe the technique that Democrats have been using against Republicans, planting the stories and then repeating them as true for literally a decade. I think you'll find it very enlightening.
Good.
God
very
bless
good.
You, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right, we've got to jump to the break. Folks on the phones, we'll be right back to you. 303-696-1971, 710, KNUS. Much as I love my bumper music, that half hour I did on George's show, they did all the big hair bands. Really got me fired up this morning. Did an extra half hour for George so he could get to a volleyball game with his son, I believe. And that was a real pleasure. If you missed it, check out the podcast later. We're halfway through Wake Up with Randy Corporan. I'm Randy Corporan, your pumped up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism. We're going to get to Chris and Johnny here in just 1 second, but Gene, just with a snap of a finger, pulled up the wrap-up smear that Alexa reminded me of the name. This is Nancy Pelosi, very, very short, but this is exactly what the Democrats do to me, to our 11 o'clock guest, Ron Hanks, to anybody or with any story that they want to get their phony media narrative out. The corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machine is 100,000% complicit in always being willing to do this.
You call it the wrap-up smear. You smear somebody with falsehoods and all the rest, and then you merchandise it. And then you write it, and they'll say, see, it's reported in the press that this, 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 and this. So they have that validation that the press reported the smear, and then it's called the wrap-up smear. Now I'm going to merchandise the press's report on the smear that we made. And it's a tactic. And it's self-evident. But it's I think tactic. I'm worth the trouble, very frankly.
It's a tactic. I think it's self-evident. And I'm Nancy Pelosi, and I approve this message. The wrap-up smear. Man, you see it every single day. Last thing, I just want to tease our 11 o'clock guest. He's running for Senate. He is your current Colorado State Legislator from House District 60. His name is Ron Hanks. And here's a little bit of what he had to say, then we'll jump to your calls.
As Americans come to realize Biden's incompetence, a growing majority believe he was not fairly elected. Evidence of fraud in multiple states support their conclusion. I know because I attended recounts and audits in multiple states. As our next senator, I will fight for our conservative values, and I'll start by targeting our broken election system. I'm Ron Hanks, and I'm running for the United States Senate. I'm Ron Hanks, and I approve this message.
Everybody's all Twitter-pated because Ron Hanks, I think they put a Xerox out. I haven't seen this. I just heard it. But I think they put a Xerox machine or something out there with the Dominion sign on it and then blew it up. Everybody's freaking out. So we'll spend some time with Ron Hanks in the 11 o'clock hour. Right now with full lines, though, let's start with Chris in Lakewood. Chris, good morning.
Hey, Randy. Good morning. Kindred spirit here. I really appreciate the work you do for all of us trying to uphold freedom in the midst of this tyranny.
Thank you.
That we're facing. So basically, long story short, I've been working for a city government for about 4 months. They haven't had a mask mandate in the time that I've been there. But the county in which the city is in just implemented and is putting down a new and improved, as it were, mask mandate that apparently is starting on Monday. And so I guess my question to you, because I know you're a patriot and I know you're fighting for all of us, not only with the experimental biological injections, but with these mask mandates, what can I do? I mean, I'm not going to comply. I'm not going to comply with this tyranny. I'm done with this. I need the job. But I don't know where to go with this.
Yeah, well, these are some tough choices because private employers have significant rights to make certain requirements of their employees. And unless they are being effectuated, improperly, unfairly, based on gender, based on religion, based on skin color, then they are likely able to get away with it, just like you can quit and go work somewhere else. Is there any option to express a religious objection? Are we talking solely about masks? Or are we talking about mandated vaccinations as well?
No, and just a little bit more of the backstory. I've had COVID. I've got robust innate immunity, and so it's not injections. It's just masks. And this is a city government, by the way. Just I don't know if you heard me say that in the beginning, but this is a city government that I'm working for. I work in a department in the city government that has a lot of contact with people, although we have these huge, plexiglass shields up. It's just obscene. But I guess I want to know, if I'm fired, can I get unemployment? Do I have the right to videotape the interaction? My supervisors are awesome. They're good people. It's not their fault, but it's my job. It's a part-time job.
Sure.
I'm 58 years old, and, I need to work. I need to work at this job.
Well, Chris, videotape, yes. Unemployment, if you're fired for cause, then they will likely challenge your firing, and it'll be up to an unemployment administrative judge or hearing officer to make the decision on whether you qualify or not. I was in court a little over a week ago with the Denver police officers challenging the vax mandate, and everybody there had their masks on and the sign was on the door, and I didn't. I don't wear them. I make them force me to wear them. And then I decide, do I stick around or do I just move on? If I have to get on an airplane to go somewhere, I understand I have to wear it while I'm there if I'm going to use that airplane. So I do it. in court, the judge came out and said, "Mr. Corcoran, your mask." And I complained about it and but said, "Judge, your court, I'll do it." And then, man, I stood up to that podium. It had been a long night, no sleep. It seemed really hot in there for some reason. I've been in court a million times, so it was very weird how I felt. But I got lightheaded with the mask, and I said so. And I was able to pull it down and go ahead and breathe air. But I'm afraid we live in a world where you just have to make those decisions for yourself now, and they can fire you. Uncertain whether a judge would uphold their challenge of your request for unemployment. But I would think, man, there are going to be a lot of jobs that need to be filled as more and more people impose these mandates. And you've got to find, it's going to allow for tremendous growth. We're growing at my law firm like crazy. It's going to allow for tremendous growth in other places, other industries, even other cities that don't have stupid requirements like that. So I would think somebody like you would be able to find a new home. But you're just going to have to make that decision, my friend.
Yeah, it's tough because I know it's the weaponization of this virus. I know it's a crime against humanity. And, you know, it's what's really funny about all this is I've been telling my significant other, I've been telling her for a year now, I want to do something important in regards to this. I want to help get the word out about all of these things that at least half the people in our community, in our country, aren't observing because either they're listening to the corrupt media and that narrative, or they're just willfully ignorant or whatever it is. But maybe this is my opportunity because, you know, it starts with one person. And I can guarantee you that anyone else I'm working with, I work with a couple conservatives, and we talk on the side about things, but they're still going to adhere to the mask mandate. And I'm just, I'm willing to lose my job for it, my freedom. And
yeah, I think people have to be willing to take that stand and hopefully find good alternatives on the other side. Remember, for every door that closes, that means there's 1,000 doors out there that you haven't even knocked on yet. And have you ever been to the Arapaho Tea Party? We've got our meeting coming up this coming Tuesday. And I sure would love to meet you.
Yeah, interestingly enough, I normally work Tuesday from 12 to 8, but I don't think I'll be working this week.
Well, very good. Go to Eventbrite, man. Look up Arapaho Tea Party. The Time for Talking is Over is the name of this event. It is a ticketed event, no charge at all, but because we have room limitations and we've been exceeding them for months and months and months now, we have to ticket the event. Plus, we're going to have a controversial politician there, U.S. Senate candidate Ron Hanks, so it could be a real zoo. But yeah. I'd love to have you. Go to Eventbrite, grab a ticket, will you?
Yeah, absolutely, Randy. And thank you. I am so grateful for everything that you do for this community and standing up for freedom and patriotism. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man. Hope to meet you on Tuesday. And haven't been mentioning the Tea Party at all, but I know there are tickets available and they go fast. So get to Eventbrite and come see us this coming Tuesday, 6:30 at the South Metro Fire Rescue Building. Ron Hanks will be talking about all the crazy stuff that's going on. Mike and Johnny, we're at the break. I hope you'll sit tight. Mike wants to talk about the wrap-up smear. We'll play that again. It's just so appropriate to what's going on. And then Johnny has some other experimental things that our government has done that he wants to talk about. We're going to do both of those calls for sure on the other side of this very short break. Wake up with Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS. Going to be a lot of guitar when I get back on my Harley at noon and head up to Fort Lupton, historic Fort Lupton, to support my friend Sheriff Steve Reams in his reelection bid. And you know me and car shows, man. I love me some car shows. He asked me to be a celebrity judge up there weeks and weeks ago, and I got sucked into the cop cases and just all the stuff that's going on. Forgot all about it. So I don't have any of my cars up there. I would have loved to support him that way. Maybe I'll still judge. We'll see when I get there. But I definitely want to go up and at least put 20 bucks in the bucket and say thank you very much to Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams. If you're interested in joining us, I'm getting a lot of texts from people who came to our Shenango car show, and they all said they're heading that way. So if you're interested in joining us, go to reamsforcolorado.com. He's got the link. But it's just the old historic fort in Fort Lupton. That's where everything is going on. And And man, oh man, I got on the scales this morning, and for the first time in a decade, I saw 198 on there. I literally picked it up, cleaned it off, set it back down, made sure it was at zero, stepped on it again. First time I've been under 200 pounds in probably a decade, and I feel great. What a way to celebrate October Emotional Wellness Month. Now, I'm pretty even keel guy on my emotions, but I'll celebrate any reason for celebrating. And it's all of the stress that is wreaking havoc on people, right? You don't know what's next. You don't know if you're going to have a job. Do you have to take an experimental vaccine even though you've had COVID? And maybe you'll wake up like my officer friend, Jose Manriquez, who now can't walk without a cane. I mean, just so much being thrown at you. Gas prices through the roof. Border wide open. Hundreds of thousands of people infiltrating our country. All of these things are going on, and you can feel it in your body. But my friend Dr. Julie McCallum and her team at Cenogenics have literally pioneered age management. Age management through better health, better diet, exercise. Once you get into the habit, it feels good. I can tell you that for sure. Cenogenics will help you develop healthy lifestyle, healthy coping strategies, and benefit your immune system. That's good as we head into cold and flu season and improve your overall feeling of well-being. I know it's working for me. I know they can help you as well. Call Cenogenics. Schedule your consultation today. Phone number 720-387-3681. 720-387-3681. It is wonderful to have a doctor at your fingertips, one who is focused on you. Visit their website, denver.cenogenics.com. It's denver.cenogenics.com. So with full lines, I just want to play the first few seconds again of this wrap-up smear from Nancy Pelosi. Professor John Eastman brought this up in our interview earlier on.
Call it the wrap-up smear. You smear somebody with falsehoods and all the rest, and then you merchandise it. And then you write it, and they'll say, see, it's reported in the press that this, 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 and this, so they have that validation that the press reported the smear, and then it's called the wrap-up smear. Now I'm going to merchandise the press's report on the smear that we made. And it's a tactic.
It's
self-evident.
It's a tactic.
But I think I'm worth the trouble, quite frankly.
It's self-evident, and I, the Queen, Nancy Pelosi, are worth the trouble. Mark, you had a comment on that, then we'll get to Johnny. Mark, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Randy. Just wanted to...
Sorry, I said Mark. This is Mike. I apologize. Go ahead, Mike.
That's all right. Yeah, I just wanted to say, what can we do with that? And then I'd like to mention real quick two stories on Fauci.
All right, real quick.
Okay, well, what can we do about Nancy and her wraparound smear? And two stories on Fauci. There's a story I read on the internet that his group gave funding to another group to take the scalps of aborted babies and transplant them onto the backs of rats, and where they grafted them and the hair began to grow. And also he funded a different group, which took 31 beagles and used trapped sand mosquitoes to infect the dogs with a human parasite, and they suffered greatly in pain to study this drug, which has already been studied.
Yuck.
So,
did you get these stories? What's the source?
Great. I'll spell it. GREATGAMEINDIA, greatgameindia.com. And there's other links further on those stories on the internet. Yeah.
Well, that's disgusting. As far as what we can do about the wrap-up smear, get better at it. Play the game. It works. They've been using it against us forever. It's not a coincidence. It's a tactic. Let's get better at it. It's just dumb to always be on defense if you're a conservative trying to get Republicans elected, and I'm over it.
But what if they enjoy control of the majority of the television and print media?
Their ratings are dying. Other outlets and opportunities are opening up. This is the 21st century, man. You just mentioned a website I've never heard of. There's 1,000 different ways to get your news and to get out your story and to get another side of any particular issue that you're thinking about or contemplating or need to vote on or whatever. Talk radio is still doing quite well. And so I think we've been asleep at the wheel. We are wide awake. Look what's happening at school board meetings. They got to weaponize the Department of Justice now to try and stop parents from showing up at school board meetings. I mean, this shows you how crazed and terrified they are on the left. We need to quit acting like cowards who have to behave better so people will like us. And I just say game on, Mike.
Here's something else for you.
Yeah.
Fake president, fake set, fake votes.
You're talking about that set constructed for him of the White House? It's just bizarre.
Yes.
And they say the reason they did that is so that he could have a big teleprompter that he could – it would look like he's not reading a teleprompter when he sits at this desk. Oh. They even made phony window sets outside so it looks like you're looking through a window, but they forgot what season it is. They put spring flowers on these windows. I mean, fake everything is right, Mike. Great call. Great point. Thanks for your time.
Thanks.
All right. Mike's line is open. Johnny's been waiting forever. Johnny in Denver, thanks for that. Good morning and welcome.
All right. I know Peter was saying, like, this COVID is a terrible thing to die from.
Sure.
When I was 6 years old, doctors gave me 12 pills called phytopharmbertol. It's called Steven Johnson syndrome. It burns you from the inside out. I was one of the 30 to live through that. Okay. And then after then, they just kept doing experimental operations to try to fix it until I realized that if doctors can mess you up, it's a lot harder to fix you up. And I found this recording. I was watching the Wayne Dupree show Thursday, and this guy, he ran down how many experimental things they did to us black people, starting with the song Strange Fruit, Billie Holiday, how the federal government went after her to destroy her because of the song. And then the people in the army, how they withheld drugs to cure them from syphilis. Then the last one, I didn't even hear about this one, they injected the radiations for cancer to black people to see how much they could give them before they killed them. Then they said, okay, well, then we'll use a lower level for the rest of the population. But they told them it was something else that they were doing rather than what it was. It's 35 minutes, Wayne Dupree on the 7th, Thursday the 7th. It's about 35 minutes into the show. You can still probably get it on YouTube. I downloaded because I wanted to do what you do with Nancy Pelosi and keep that because some of the things I didn't even know.
So, Johnny, are you equating that with the fact that we're using that, you know, that they're as fast as they can through coercion, intimidation, propaganda, trying to get the entire world vaccinated with these experimental use authorization not approved by the FDA, not what they're sticking in people's arms. That has not been approved still. They're trying to get as many people stuck as they can. You think it's a big experiment? Did you hear that audio I played from Fauci in 2019?
Oh, yeah. And that the policemen that you're working with, that they don't want to show those people. They want to make it sound like it's all good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Steven Johnson syndrome, 30% of people live through it. The 70 don't live through it. And I don't know if you've ever been burned from the outside, but being burned from the inside out by 12 little pills.
Sounds awful, Johnny. Well, thank you for sharing the story. And people just need to be cautious and not bullied into becoming part of the big experiment. And I agree with that 100%. Johnny, God bless you. Have a good weekend, sir.
You too.
All right, Johnny's line is open, 303-696-1971, 696-1971. We are up against the top of the hour. For folks on the phone, sit tight. We're going to get to every call. We won't keep our next guest very long, but when we come back, we're going to hear from this guy.
As our next senator, I will fight for our conservative values, and I'll start by targeting our broken election system. I'm Ron Hanks, and I'm running for the United States Senate. I'm Ron Hanks, and I approve this message.
The very dangerous 32-year Air Force veteran Ron Hanks will join us next on 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.